Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program that introduces you to the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Today's program over News Talk 1310 WBFD is hosted by Lloyd Roach. Bedford County Speaks is heard every Saturday at this time. Now let's join Lloyd for this week's discussion on Bedford County Speaks.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks. Today's program is brought to you as a public service by DestinationDelco.com. Just a few miles to the east of us, you'll find the wonders of historic Delaware County and the Brandywine Valley. To learn more, visit DestinationDelco.com. I'll be right back to introduce my guest, J.R. Wink, of Habitat for Humanity for Bedford County, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
DestinationDelco.com, a new way to experience Delaware County. Destination Delco, from Philly to the Brandywine, we have the Crossroads, Riverside, Main Streets, Main Line, and the Brandywine. Five different ways to experience Delaware County. Check us out at DestinationDelco.com. Be sure to listen to Bedford County Speaks, Saturdays at 8:30 a.m., just before Rush, on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
We are in the offices of J.R. Wink's Habitat for Humanity offices here in Bedford County, and we're going to learn about a very interesting subject. I know you all know about Habitat for Humanity, but you don't know about this one, and we're going to tell you a little bit about it. My guest today is J.R. Wink. He's the Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity for Bedford County. And J.R., thanks a million for joining us. I really appreciate your taking the time to do this.
Sure, it's a pleasure to be here with you, Lloyd, and to share about Habitat for Humanity Bedford County, and really what about Habitat is doing for Bedford County and with the citizens of Bedford County. We're very excited to see what's been happening as of late and excited about what the future holds for Habitat.
Well, first, before we get started on the organization itself, I'm going to learn a little bit about you. J.R. Wink is a Bedford native?
Yes, I was born and raised in Breezewood, so I'm a local. Left home for a little while to go to college and did some missions work overseas, often over a five-year period. Went to Nepal and Central America and places like that, serving people in need and doing missions work.
Where did you go to school? What kind of mission was it?
I went to school at Moody Bible Institute, Chicago.
Oh, right.
And then I went
big
to
place.
Yeah, big city,
right.
For a country boy to go to. And then and also went to Biola University and Talbot Seminary in California for graduate school.
Well, here's a totally piece of useless trivia that I'll tell you about. But the Moody Bible College, actually, from a radio broadcaster's point of view, is well known because they were one of the first schools in America to have their own radio station. I don't know if you knew that or not.
No,
and their calls are WMBI, and they're still on the air in Chicago. So there you go. A little fact you didn't even need to know. Okay, our guest is J.R. Wink. And J.R., this is an organization I think everyone knows, mostly because of the publicity that generated because of the former president, Jimmy Carter. And I think a lot of people look back and say, oh, yeah, Habitat for Humanity, they build houses. But there's more to it, isn't it?
Yeah, there's more to it. It's really about building community, bringing people together, not just helping a family in need, but allowing the community to help a family in need, and really building alliances and partnerships with churches working together with other organizations, and just really giving you a good spirit about the community, a good feel about the community. And so many things could get discouraging today. But one thing about Habitat is it really brings encouragement to the local community, and I think we need that today.
Because you have religious training, and Habitat clearly has a Christian angle to it, does it not?
Yes, we are a Christian ministry. Yes.
So this really adds to Habitat's ability to reach out into the community, I would guess, because it isn't the government.
Right, it's not the government. It's not a government program. Locally, we don't receive any funding from the government. All our funding is private through individuals, businesses, and corporations.
So if I'm a private outfit like this, all of my money has to come from donations of others. I assume you get money from the government, you don't?
No, we don't get. Right now, we don't get any money from the government.
So you're pretty self-sustaining. So
pretty much,
what you see is what you get.
Right.
Okay, now what I would like you to do, if you wouldn't mind, is take us through the process. You say needy families. That's a big category.
Right.
Where does it start? How do people come in contact with you, or how do you get in contact with them? Where does it all begin?
Well, it really begins really sharing the program with churches and with individuals, asking them to alert us to people that may be in need, Having those individuals contact us, actually letting the banks know. Actually, the last two partner families were referred to us by a local bank because they didn't qualify for a bank mortgage. And so then they were referred to Habitat. So they went through the process, which takes about a six to eight months to go through to see if they do qualify for the program. And then we, at the end of that process, after all the data is collected, then the board votes on that particular family. Now, as the family's voted on, it's voted on family F or family M. The name of the family is not known to the board.
Oh, really?
So there's no favoritism shown. Right. It only goes by the data that's before them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess when I was asking you earlier about where does it begin, I mean, first of all, I heard you mention at least three times now, the applicants are called families.
Families, yeah.
So there's not an individual that
well,
can
there could
it,
be an individual.
It,
yeah, well, anybody that qualifies can apply. We have strict criteria. One is need. So any the need, it could be defined as overcrowding or substandard housing in some way, or say they're sharing an apartment with a family sharing an apartment with another family, some kind of temporary housing situation. There's various types of things we look at for need. Maybe it's unaffordable where they're staying. Second is their ability to partner with us, meaning they can do the sweat equity component of Habitat. Locally, you have to do 500 hours of sweat equity friends and family, with 150 of those hours by the particular family themselves and something Habitat related. Not only their build, but they can also help with fundraisers and mailings and public speaking events. And finally, the third criteria is the ability to pay. They have to be able to make that minimal monthly mortgage payment. We have two mortgages, which are both zero interest. The first is based on cost of construction, and the second is based on from cost of construction to market value. And as they make the payment on the first mortgage, the second mortgage is forgiven over time.
We're going to talk a little bit about the financing in the second part of the program, because I think that's a particularly interesting aspect of what you do. Okay, so a needy person or a family can come to you, or people on their behalf can come to you and say, this family is in need, we need to get them under roof, they're you know, living in this horrible place, and we want to get them in a better environment. So one of the things, I think a lot of people in the county would probably agree with this assessment, it is so much better to have someone come in and work with you on this project, as you call it sweat equity and later the financing of the house, than just accepting a donation from somebody or even a government grant because they don't value it. We've seen this in public housing for decades, ever since the beginning of the Great Society, when people were given things, they didn't value them, so they deteriorated and ended up being a wreck because they didn't have any skin in the game, so to speak.
Right.
So it seems to be your, the way you do it here at Habitat of Humanity is different. The participant is also the person who lives in the house. So when they do move in, it's really theirs in every sense, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. It's really about partnership. Habitat partners with individuals or families. And so then in that partnership, we build the home with them. We don't build a house for anybody. We mm-hmm. build a house with a family. And, of course, if someone has a severe disability, then we find other ways for them to acquire that sweat equity, you know, and there's some but overall, you know, it really is about partnership. It's about preserving the dignity of the individual because there's some kind of give back on the part of the family. So that preserves the dignity that I believe we all were created with. Created with dignity. And when giving is a one-way street, there's no kind of reciprocity, then it really takes away from that dignity of that person because there's a sense of healthy pride involved. And when you don't allow someone to give back, you're taking something from them, and it's really an unhealthy relationship.
Our guest is J.R. Wink, who is the Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity for Bedford County, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks. And J.R. is, I wanted to speak to J.R. actually for the first time we came up with the program because I met him a few weeks ago here in Bedford, and I really wasn't aware of the extent that Habitat of Humanity had grown here in this county, and they've really done an exceptional job. And one of the things I wanted to ask you, J.R., is I know I saw some publicity somewhere about you helped a veteran. And that's probably one of the groups that you look for, don't you? The veterans and
right.
and people that need this kind of thing, because they right. certainly have contributed in every way, especially if they're a combat vet, and now they come to you and say, I need a little hand with this.
Right. One of the things we're starting is our veterans program initiative, where we want to build a home with a veteran in need, and right now we're targeting the Saxon area for that. So in 2016, we're hoping and praying that God will provide that veteran family, that with the family with a veteran. It could be a mom or a dad. It could be a single individual. It could be of any age. There's no age discrimination. We really are looking for a veteran to build for, and we're targeting the Saxon area, though. Or someone who would like to move to the Saxon area, because we never had built in that part of the county, so we really want to see something done in Saxton, and I believe it's the third largest town in Bedford County, so we really want to reach out to that part of the county and see some things happen with Habitat.
Well, Saxton, of course, has an extraordinary history. Historically, it was one of the economic engines for Bedford County for many years, and so like a lot of these towns that have folded because of, you know, coal mining, retiring as an energy source and so forth, kind of leaves an empty shell of a town, but the people are still there. Right. So you need to provide these one more thing. Before I break, I want to ask you one more thing. You mentioned the participation of the churches. How do they participate? Do they suggest candidates for you, or do they actually get in sometimes and actually help you build a house?
They actually, they do both. They suggest candidates, but they also get involved in the actual building of the project. I think one of the most exciting moments for me last build was when one particular build day, we had four or five pastors represented on that build day who lived in the same town but had never really met each other. And there they were working side by side on the Habitat home and getting to know each other and talking. And so, and my vision is to see then churches then also partner on other things in the community and come together and work to eliminate different problems and issues that our community faces and kind of work together in partnership. That was really exciting to see. But the churches also, they provide lunches. During our Blitz build, we had a church provide a lunch every day of the Blitz build, and that was a real blessing.
Wow, what a contribution. Yeah. My word. I mean, that's you forget little right. stuff like that, but it's not little stuff, because if you're out there in the hot sun,
exactly,
you can really use a decent lunch. Well, we are speaking to J.R. Wink, who is the Executive Director of Habitat of Humanity of Bedford County, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks, brought to you by DestinationDelco.com. And when we come back, we're going to learn a little bit about the nitty-gritty of actually doing this job at Habitat. The financing, the work, the tools needed, where they get their supplies, and that kind of stuff, as Bedford County Speaks continues.
DestinationDelco.com, a new way to experience Delaware County. Destination Delco, from Philly to the Brandywine, we have the Crossroads, Riverside, Main Streets, Main Line, and the Brandywine. Five different ways to experience Delaware County. Check us out at DestinationDelco.com. Be sure to listen to Bedford County Speaks, Saturdays at 8:30 a.m., just before Rush, on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to today's Bedford County Speaks.
You are listening to Bedford County Speaks, brought to you today by DestinationDelco.com. To learn more about the wonders of Delaware County and the Brandywine Valley, visit DestinationDelco.com. Our guest today is an interesting and fascinating fellow, a Bedford resident from Breezewood, no doubt. I don't think I've ever met anyone from Breezewood until this moment, JR, so it's really great. I mean, people actually live there. It isn't just a big gas station, so it's great. Now, JR is the Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity right here in Bedford County, and he's doing some absolutely terrific work. And we've been hearing a little bit about how they do it and who's actually in need and who actually gets these houses and how and why. But I want to get into a little bit about how it's done physically. I think a lot of folks, including myself, are really in the dark. I mean, they go out and hire, G.R. Wing contractors or what happens. So first, let's talk a little bit about the construction of the houses themselves. If you got a project all approved, you got a family all approved, you know, as you say, the X family, whoever they are, and you've got a site. Let's start with the site. How do you get the land?
Well, normally we try to find a site that's affordable. One thing is about building an affordable house for the family. So they've got to be able to afford that monthly mortgage payment. So we look around for a lot that's essentially affordable. Usually it's about the $10,000 range for us. One of the things, the exciting things, is that the lot in Saxton has actually been donated by Wells Fargo. Bank, they donated the lot to us, and so we're really excited about that, because any donations that we receive means less financial fundraising we need to do. But what we do is we sit down with the partner family, and we let them look through various floor plans that Habitat has, and they kind of review them and look at, to see which one. I try to give them as many options as possible, because it is going to be their home. They're going to be paying these mortgage payments on it. Now, one thing about Habitat is we build a simple, decent, affordable house. It's not a fancy house. It's just a very simple starter home. Average square footage is 1,100 square feet. Typically, it's a three-bedroom, one-bath home. It's just a nice, affordable shelter for the family to live in that they can invest in over time. And then if they, down the road, want to resell that home, they can.
Let me tell you something. My son lives in New York City. He lives in Bayside, Queens. The house you just described, he has to rent. And the rent for that place is absolutely outrageous. I asked him once, if the house were ever sold, how much would they get for it? He says, oh, somewhere between $900 and $1 million. So I'm thinking to myself, $900,000 to $1 million for a starter house that you guys are building. No, I think this is just a fine house. Thank you very much, considering what some people have to live in for exorbitant amounts of money. So that's terrific. So, okay, so I'm imagining this house. What is it, one-story kind of place, I guess, on a slab? Does it have cellars? Or how does it work?
Yeah, typically it's just a one-story ranch home. It's usually on a slab or a crawl space. Habitat typically does not do any type of foundation, because we see that as an extra expense, and we're really trying to make the house simple, decent, affordable. So If the land would call for a foundation, we would do it. Or say someone were to donate a house and we needed to move it, and that house was on a foundation, we would put it back on a foundation.
Gotcha.
And things like that. Typically, locally, what we've been doing is we've been doing what's called a blitz build. And the last one we did was a five-day blitz build, and the last day we were rained out. But what we do is we get the house up and under roof within that 4 or 5 days, put the panels up, the trusses, the sheeting, get a shingle, get the windows and doors in. And by the end of the week, we really try to have the vinyl siding on as the goal, so that when you see the house, you see the shell there. So then no matter what the weather is, we can work on the inside. We can work on wiring it and installing the plumbing.
I see. So your houses aren't going to have a house beautiful kitchen. You're going to have a kitchen that's functional, refrigerator, things like that, freezer.
Right.
But it's not going to have a super-duper granite top
thing
like that, unless it's given to you.
It's donated.
Right, yeah.
And BC Stone did donate the countertops for the last home, and they're donating the countertops for this home. Mm. They're very generous. The community's been very generous in donating towards this home and towards the last home, actually towards every home Bedford County has built. It's been a really significant amount of material donations to this home. We have, you know, Clark Well Drilling, they're donating drilling the well for us, and the casing, and Zimmerman's is donating the wire, and Guy's Hardware is donating the pump, and we have different, last build, Sherman Williams donated the paint, this build, Vassbar is donating the paint.
A paint donation is a serious donation.
Serious donation. Materials are sold to us at cost, which is very helpful.
Right.
Or a significant discount. So it's been a real blessing. Last build, Shawnee Vinyl donated two doors, and they were valued at $1,500 a piece. And it was just exciting to see the community really coming together and donating towards these builds.
So every one of these donations reduced your construction costs, which enables the end-up owner, the owner of the house, perhaps to get this house for less money, or how's it work?
Well, typically, in order for there to be equity in the home, more of an equal kind of value of the home, so that all homeowners are paying about the same price for the home.
I see. Gotcha.
We value these products. Whether it's material donation or financial donation, all of it goes into what's called cost of construction. Now, of course, they aren't paying for a granite countertop.
Right.
We would value that if what it would cost us for a Formica countertop.
Okay. So any one was, yeah, okay, well, let's just call it, for the sake of conversation, let's call it profit. Any excess or profit you get from getting donations just enables you to pour it back into the fund to make another house.
Exactly.
I see, gotcha.
And as the mortgage payments come in, then and those then go on to build the next house.
Gotcha.
So this as the houses, or if the person sells the home, like a typical case, we had a lady who sold her home and moved to Texas, and so that money came back to Habitat, and that money was then used to build another Habitat home.
Now, when the owner of the house, when they complete their payments, the mortgage, do they actually have deed and title to the house?
Yes.
So it becomes their house.
Becomes their house.
And then they can do whatever they want with
yes.
it, including sell it to someone else.
They can. And they can do that the week after they buy it. If they want to sell the home the week after they buy it, they can. But because we carry two mortgages,
gotcha.
The money comes back to Habitat, because the program really is to help a family in need.
Right.
Not to
spin houses.
Not to spin houses. And that was one of the things great about Habitat, is because we carry the second mortgage. That really protects the investment of the community in that home from someone flipping the house and making a big profit on the equity in the home.
Gotcha.
Like after a week. For instance, there was an organization in Altoona. They were doing something very similar to Habitat, and they did not have the second mortgage. And so they were having families sell their homes after they sold them to them, and making $50,000 or $60,000. And they were getting so disheartened, like this was happening, like why are individuals doing this?
Yeah. And why did we give all this volunteer labor?
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Whereas that can't happen with a Habitat home, because
gotcha. Well, that's let's go into the financing and find out how that works. Okay, so I've been selected as a Habitat family, and obviously I'm going to have some kind of an agreement with you. I guess it's going to be a mortgage agreement.
Yes.
And the house cost of the construction has been established, and the cost of the land or whatever else that Habitat has in it. So my mortgage is going to be how long? 20 years? 30 years?
20 to 25 years. We can go as far as 30 years if need be, but typically 20, 25 years is what we normally, the first mortgage, and the second mortgage is a 10-year mortgage, and both are zero interest.
So who is the bank?
Habitat.
So you're the bank. Okay. Yes. So you get to control the mortgage, because you obviously don't have to go through another financial institution. Do you ever use financial institutions to underwrite the loans or anything like that, or you do it all yourself?
We do it all ourselves.
Wow. So you have to raise enough money to do that.
Yes.
And that's why building these houses is important, is to keep going, because that keeps the fund going.
Yes. It keeps the fund going. And again, as the mortgage payments come in from the previous houses, those payments go on to help build the next home. And it's kind of the gift that keeps giving. When you give a gift to Habitat, that's a gift that kind of keeps giving each house. Mm-hmm. It's not just for one house, but it actually will go on to build several houses. And one of the things with Habitat is 10% of our undesignated funds goes to building overseas. Unless you actually designate a fund to go locally, 10% of what you give will go to build a home, and we donate to Guatemala.
So third world countries also benefit
from the program. And then those habitats are also following the same Habitat principles as we do in the United States.
We are speaking to the local Habitat Humanity here in Bedford County, J.R. Wink, who is the executive director of this fine organization. And it struck my ear during the break when you told me about the low-interest loans. Because you are a Christian-based outfit, is there a underlying biblical admonition about that regarding usury, or is that just something you want to do to make it easier for the buyer?
Well, that's something that the Bible teaches about, not charging interest to your brother, and
right.
So we do follow that as an organization, not charging any interest on the home. We're not in it to make money, we're in it to help families.
Right.
But we want to help families in a responsible way, so if there's some kind of give back or payback on the part of the individual through these mortgage payments and through the sweat equity, that makes them value the home, makes them feel good as an individual. I think one of the hardest things locally we have is finding qualified families and families who will want to participate in the program. There's this kind of this understanding of Habitat that it's a free house, And so some people really have a dislike or a disdain for that idea of a free home, and so they won't apply for the program, or they won't donate to the program or help in any way. But when you explain to them, well, the program is not about a free house, people do have to make a small mortgage payment. That makes families feel good that, hey, my skin does have to be in this. I do have to be part of this.
Well, I think if this program accomplishes nothing else, we want to sell that idea, because that was the thing that impressed me. This isn't a handout. It's a, what do you call it, a hand up, I think.
Hand up, yes.
And if it is indeed a hand up, then no one should be ashamed of coming to Habitat for Humanity, right, and say, I need a house that I'm willing to work and pay for it. That's darn near as good as going to a bank and saying, I want a house and I'm willing to work and pay for it, because the only difference is that it's going to cost you less and you're going to get a simple house out of it and not some gigantic McMansion on a hill. But it is a place to start. So I wanted to ask you, are there any success stories here in Bedford County that you're really particularly proud of with any of the houses you've built or some of the individuals that have gotten the houses?
Well, I think in one particular family is the Harbaugh family in Pleasantville. They actually, REI donated a home to Habitat for Humanity, and they moved it.
An entire house.
Whoa. And they moved it to Pleasantville area, right around the area there, and they refurbed the home, and the Harbaughs love it as if it was a brand new house, and they hold like some dinners in their home for the community and things like that, and that really makes you feel good about them, because they're giving back to the community. And using their home is really keeping it up well, and so it makes you feel good that they appreciate that. Anytime you talk to Renee and Danny, they just have praise and sing about Habitat and how much they appreciated the opportunity to have a home that they wouldn't have had otherwise.
And don't you think that the work you accomplish here by doing this adds to the Bedford County well-being and economy itself?
I mean,
you're really, aren't you adding people into the economy that are real contributors in every way?
Yeah, and one of the things is when building a home, you're adding to the local tax base and helping raise revenue for the local county, the local economy. And then being a zero interest loan, that money that they save while not paying the interest goes into investing in local businesses and buying products at the stores and buying the groceries and things, because they have that extra expendable income that they can use to.
I hope the elected officials take note of this concept. It's a good way to build an economy. It's called the American dream.
Yes.
And I think it's a very real. J.R. Wink, you've been terrific. I want to thank you very, very much for joining us. Did I miss anything? Anything you wanted to add?
No, just that, again, Habitat is a Christian ministry. It's about us being the hands and feet of Christ and really just helping those in need in a responsible way and investing in lives and really changing the projection of a family. We had one particular family in Hindman. They sent their daughter to college, and one of the things they attribute that to is the fact that they were a Habitat Humanity homeowner, and it gave them the opportunity to save some money and help their child get to college. So that was another
See, little things mean everything. That's a great story. And well, thank you for sharing that.
Yes,
that's
thank you very much.
Website. Is there a website?
Yeah, it's BedfordCountyHabitat.org, and you can find anything out there about the organization itself. You can download applications and the various forms to apply for a home, to become a homeowner with Habitat. You can also find information about volunteering there. We're always looking for volunteers, skilled tradesmen and unskilled. I always say that you don't have to worry if you do something wrong with the Habitat house. You aren't going to get fired. We'll fix it and we'll move on, and we'll make sure it's done right. But we will. But you can learn a good place to learn a trade if you want to learn.
Now,
some
if
skills.
You didn't get that website, I didn't either, because I have this problem with these young guys like JR. They all talk too fast when it comes to websites and emails. So it's Bedford Habitat.
Bedford County Habitat.
BedfordCountyHabitat.org. Okay. And our guest has been JR Wink, the Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity, and we thank him very much for joining us today. Bedford County Speaks was brought to you today by DestinationDelco.com. To learn more about the wonders of Delaware County and the Brandywine Valley, visit DestinationDelco.com. See you again next Saturday right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, have a great weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks. Listen each Saturday beginning at 8:30 to hear about the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is a presentation of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310 WBFD. Thanks for listening.